I am committed to doing whatever I can to make this world a better place. I know, it's the most basic answer I could have come up with, but it fits. When I started this class, I was annoyed, to say the least. I mean, I had so many other important things to do, like being a couch potato. When we started thinking about writing our credos, I thought mine was going to be about how I don't believe in God and how creators are stupid. However, as I started to think more deeply about it, I realized that I have to have other priorities than just getting my favorite cup of fills every morning. So, with my fills in one hand and pen in the other, I began to write. Back to my topic sentence of how I want to make the world a better place. I know it sounds like an idealistic children's book about how you should treat others the way you want it to be treated, but if that's not Unitarian Universalism in its most simple form, I don't know what is. It connects to how I've always tried to live my life, and I will fight for anything that needs my help. I want to be able to live in a world where I can thrive, and if I don't fight for change, who will? For example, an issue that affects my life today is immigration. Even though I live in the Silicon Valley bubble, there is a world outside of it. Who knew? I mean, I always knew this, but I never understood how deeply I misinterpreted the world. When our president imposed a travel ban 2 years ago, I thought it was stupid, but I didn't understand how impactful it was. So, as a good UU child, I asked questions. My first question was, why? Immigrants are exactly like us, just trying to survive and pursue happiness. But obviously, some people don't exactly get that idea. People who are just trying to live a better life, even some of my family and friends, faced unimaginable violence in their home country. But when they show up at the US border or an airport, they are prosecuted for seeking asylum, which is one of their only rights as an immigrant. Why can't the world we live in have at least equal rights for every human being? Adding on to this idea, one thing that I like about this religion or set of beliefs is that the sixth UU principle states that our goal is world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. This saying has been around for a while, but when said aloud, many people dismiss it as a childish dream or that life isn't fair. But you know what? I'm gonna do anything and everything in my power to live up to this principle. I mean, like, sometimes I'm not always gonna have it as my top priority, like if I'm studying for finals, which I have to do later today, I'm not gonna go to a march. But I also know that my desire to work for equality won't go away. One thing I've never been good at is making decisions. See, I like Unitarian Universalism because no one tells you what to believe, but I also hate it. Like, sometimes I just need someone to tell me what to do because I'm very indecisive. So this creative writing process has not been easy. Every sentence, I second-guess myself, but at some point, I realized that I just have to type something or the service would be a little bit shorter. But reflecting back on this process, writing my values down has been somewhat easier than I envisioned. I know this sounds cheesy, so get ready. But it came from the heart, and it just flowed. Since it was always what I've known, always what I've believed, it came easy. In conclusion, I will fight for my generation and others to be able to live in a world where we won't have to fight for equality. And I know if I fight for change, something will happen.
I joined this program because I was curious to understand what I thought deep down about religion. Now that I've finished this course, I come to the conclusion that I'm still not really sure, but I'm okay with that. First of all, I like to live in the present, and right now, spending time with the people that I care about seems more relevant than talking about free will or existentialism. I do appreciate the UU Church, and I think this is a great community. The reason I started coming to Sunday school was because my mom loves it here. As I grow more and more independent, I still don't exactly know what I believe in yet. I do not usually like talking about religion or stuff I can't control. Being a part of religion and identifying as this or that doesn't really matter to me, whether it's Christian or Catholic or whatever. I know stuff can happen at any time, and I feel that it is more important to be with family and friends than to worry about things I don't have answers to. A boy from my junior high died from leukemia, and both of my parents have had cancer. My dad had it twice. Both of my parents were fortunate enough to have survived, but the whole ordeal influenced me greatly. So many things that mattered to me, like being popular and wearing big brand names, don't anymore. I appreciate many things that I had taken for granted before, such as sunsets and the smell of freshly cut grass. Instead of turning to religion seeking support, I found strength in my family. I would rather focus on the important people in my life than religion, because you never know when they could be taken from you. Religion is important to some people because they believe some higher power will tell them how to lead a better life. My grandma is one of these people. She is very religious and is comforted by the idea of going to heaven. If someone says something about there not being a heaven, she cries at the idea of not seeing everyone she cares for again. I also don't worry about death or what happens after. Many people, including my grandma, like having some sort of reassurance that everything will be okay and that life after death is real. I don't need that reassurance. I feel that life is too short to spend part of it worrying about what happens after. I don't agree with any religion completely, but I do have a set of morals. I agree with some things in the Bible, like do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but honestly, I would just call this common sense. Being empathetic is one of my personal values, and I believe it is just part of being human. I think empathy is something you're born with, and common sense is just naturally learned. I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in divine intervention. I don't believe in karma, or that things are meant to be. But I do believe that when you're nice to someone, they will most likely be nice back. So you do kind of get what you put in. I believe in free will, but I don't see the point of arguing whether I'm correct or not. There is never going to be a right or wrong answer to many of life's bigger questions, and I'm perfectly okay with that. While I was thinking out loud about what I was going to write about, my mom asked me, if so much is out of your control and you can't impact anything, what is it that guides you to not be mean? I realized that tolerance and acceptance are important to me. My family moved from Oakland to San Carlos the summer before I started third grade. The moment I walked into school on the first day, I felt like an outsider. People made lots and lots of comments about how I didn't look like my brother or like most of the other kids in my school. It made me feel alone. I think that is why I'm more tolerant and accepting of other people's differences. At my junior high, people make fun of kids who are different just to make themselves feel better. I used to be bullied myself for not quite fitting in. I just don't feel good when I knowingly put others down. I have morals and values, but they don't necessarily come from religion. Learning more through UU writings, I think maybe I'm sounding more like a humanist. I may explore that more, but in the meantime, it's nice to know I will be accepted just as I am.
God is bogus. God is bogus because we're always at war with other people. Iran, ISIS, Syria, you name it, in the Middle East, and we're probably at war with it. Also, the world can be scientifically proven. That tree, the rain, all can be attributed to science. Now back to my first point. We're always at war with each other. If God really had our best interests at heart, why would we always be at war? Because war does nothing but A, destroy us and our livelihoods, and B, it harms other creatures, i.e. the dogs we send to sniff out landmines. That's no good for us, no good for the dogs, no good for the world. All around, it's just no good. And wars also harm our environment. You can look at bombs, which cause flames and smoke. That's pollution. You look at tanks, exhaust. Every single thing about war causes some sort of pollution, including bullet casings. which no one ever picks up. And there's an even deadlier type of bomb than what most people consider a bomb. These are called nukes, which is short for nuclear warhead, nuclear bomb, or nuclear missile. Or there's also nuclear submarines, and they're talking about creating a nuclear tank, which is probably a very bad idea. But these weapons are probably humanity's most evil creation, because they are designed on the total war concept. Total war was created sometime around the US Civil War, and it's the destruction of civilian properties so the military can't use it. And this is demonstrated by nuclear bombs at Nagasaki, Hiroshima. They leveled a city in one blast, twice. And they talked about doing the same to Tokyo, the capital of Japan. Think about how different our world would be without Tokyo, which is now a center of technological innovation and all that stuff. They also have a long-term effect besides leveling a city. They cause radiation. Radiation causes higher cancer rates, and people wonder why everyone is getting cancer nowadays. And then there's the loss of livelihoods. Nukes, even bombs on a lesser scale, cause buildings to collapse. And buildings are our homes and or our own businesses or shops or stuff. And then that causes people to leave the war zones. But do armies dig up the landmines they leave behind? No, they don't. And if you're driving a car along the road that an army just passed through, you might drive over a landmine and blow yourself up. And then if you're fleeing via North Africa and crossing the Mediterranean to Europe, do you think you're safe? No, your ship is most likely overloaded and not seaworthy, which means it could capsize and murder you. Which is actually happening. CNN ran a story like a year and a half ago about refugee boats capsizing in the Mediterranean. This shows that war all around is evil, and that should have been stopped if God was real. As for my other point, that everything in our world can be proven by science, you may talk about God intervening with Moses and the Red Sea or any of those other myths and legends. Well, that's exactly what they are, myths and legends. There's no science behind them, there's no proof. And without proof, how could they be real? You may also have heard that prayer circles can help people who've been injured get better. Well, again, that's wrong. The New York Times just published a scientific article that proves prayer circles do not help. In some cases, they even make the person get worse, not better. You may also say that God created our world, or that God created us. Well, the world was created not by God, but by science. And if you're wondering, go back and read the sixth grade textbook. Same if you don't believe we evolved. Both of those facts are in our sixth grade textbook, and they prove that God do not create humans or the world. Now moving on, what I believe. I believe that there's right and wrong, and what I may think is right or wrong may be different from what Dan thinks is right or wrong, because we all have different morals and values. I also believe that everyone, no matter how evil they may seem, has a conscience that determines what they think is right or wrong based on their morals and values. Also, rules, no matter how unfair or cruel or think of a bad adjective you think they are, have our best interests at heart. I mean, if it weren't for the stopping at stop signs rules, there may be a lot more bikes getting smashed. So, thank you for listening to my very long and very boring, most likely, speech. Bye.
What is the meaning of life? This question has haunted the human race for thousands of years, from the Mesopotamians to the ancient Greeks to the Egyptians to the Aztecs and every civilization on the planet today. There has always been a fascination with some greater power or true meaning or order behind the world. But that is not my question. The only thing we can really know about the meaning of life is that we'll never understand what it is. People have been trying for eons, and the only constant is that no one agrees. So, with that in mind, my question is it worth it to try and find out? On the one hand, life is short and beautiful. Best case scenario, we get maybe a century to explore and enjoy our luscious green planet. Within that century, we want to grow up, find love, have children, fulfill our dreams, and just maybe take a little bit of time to sleep. And most people don't achieve all of this. Most people don't even get a century to try. Some people die at 20. Some people die at 10. So why on earth would we waste time wondering what we're here for? It doesn't affect us anyway, and we'll never know for sure. What is the point of wasting your precious time on earth trying to answer an unanswerable question? For every second I spent writing this, I could have spent time outside enjoying the sun. I could be chasing my dreams, reading a book, spending time with my family, or doing homework so I can graduate high school and move on with my life. What is the point of wondering? There isn't one. It's a waste of time and a waste of life. On the other hand, don't you want to know? So what if life is short and beautiful? What's the point if there's no purpose to it? Do you really want to spend your time sniffing flowers and chasing dreams without even asking if there's a reason that you got to be alive? Isn't that selfish? What if there's something you were supposed to do? And even if you're positive there's no greater meaning and no mission you were given to pursue, can you stop wondering? I've never believed in God, but I still check if it's there. I know it's pointless, but I can't help it. So what I've come to at this point is that life has no inherent meaning. Whether or not there is a God doesn't really affect me, and despite sometimes wondering anyway, I'd rather not contemplate something I'll never understand, but focus on living a life that's worthwhile in the time that I have. For me, I'm pretty sure a worthwhile life means doing good and being a good person. I want to leave the world better than I found it, and I want to be kind and moral in how I handle my relationships with people. But that brings us to a really complicated question. What does it mean to be moral? That's actually one of the main arguments for religion. God dictates what is right and what is wrong so that we can all be good people. But since, as far as I know, God isn't real, that means that I'm responsible for creating and upholding my own morals. I'll start with a few base values. I think there's inherent value in human life because every person has the potential to do some good in the world, so killing people is not okay. My main goal is to help people in one way or another because they're what I care about the most. But that's really general. I want something I can apply easily to actions in the world. A moral philosophy, let's say. I'm pretty sure it can be agreed upon that the main goal of being moral is to do good in the world, so let's start with that. Let's say this guy, we'll call him Jeff, starts operating solely on this principle. Jeff spends all of his time doing volunteer work and donates all of his money to charity. That sounds great, except then Jeff loses his job and gets kicked out of his house because he ditched his job to do volunteer work and gave all of his money for his mortgage to charity. Now, Jeff can't do much good because he doesn't have any resources. In fact, now others are volunteering to help him. So in reality, you have to strike a balance between doing good for yourself and doing good for others. In a perfect world, all of your actions would be good for everyone, but that's basically impossible, so we'll settle for something a bit more achievable. Take a look at the chart in your order of service. It should be around page 6, but it may be somewhere in the middle. The The way I see it, if an action creates only good, you should always take it. If an action creates both good and bad, you have to weigh the consequences carefully and make a decision based on the context of the situation. For example, whether or not I should do my homework is an easy decision. It's directly good for me, and if I do it, it doesn't harm anyone. So it's an action I should take. That sounds fine, but the real difficulty is in the execution. Doing my homework is a completely good action, which I have not taken. Sorry, Mom and Dad. Why? It was boring and I didn't want to. Sorry, Mom and Dad. See, that's a terrible reason not to do something, but in the moment, it still outweighed my moral philosophy. This happens all the time, even when an action is completely terrible. And even if people always upheld their moral philosophies, everyone has a different moral philosophy. What I perceive as good could be bad in someone else's eyes, which means that there really aren't any actions which are completely good. By doing something I perceive as good, I could cause harm. Actually, I'm pretty sure that this is where most conflict stems from. Most people actually want to do good, they just have different ideas of what that is. No sane person fights to do something they think is bad. No one with empathy is completely evil. Nothing is really purely good, and the actual consensus on what's good and bad is entirely subjective. That still leaves me with the question of how to navigate the world, and based on all this, I do have two main conclusions. One, even if it's confusing and unclear, I still think it's important to uphold some kind of moral system beyond, I think this is a good idea. Actually, the main reason I like my chart is because it's versatile. If my idea of good and bad shifts, this can still be applied. It allows me to learn and grow and reconsider my take on the world without totally uprooting my ability to navigate it. Two, understanding others and learning to shift my idea of right and wrong based on what I know to be true is imperative to doing good in the world. Because good and bad are subjective, it's important to make sure that my ideas of good and bad are rooted in the real world with events, facts, and people rather than a disconnected set of arbitrary rules. What I know will change, so what I think will change. I wish I had a cleaner ending statement. My main point is that nothing is really clear, and the best way to navigate the world is to know that and cultivate the ability to change with what you know to be true. So, yeah, thanks for listening.